Who said that? Oh, yeah. Oh, she don't know nothing. She don't know nothing. Amen. No, we're fine. We got involved with this tenor note, and I'm telling you, I'm just confused over it, and I think he knows that I'm very much confused over it. Amen. And so sometimes you just got to hash those things out. But it's probably just as good. It's probably as much beneficial to him to try to teach me as it is for me to be taught by him. So, but no, I think if there's any problems, Ray can get right later on. Amen. No, I really don't think there is, but amen. Appreciate Brittany sharing that with you, though, by the way. Amen. All right, Psalm chapter 78 tonight. Blessing that was, and brother Coley, Jason Coley, and so I praise the Lord for. I love brother Jason. I think brother Jason is going to be our grandfather evangelist. Amen. I love it when he comes. You guys sure seem to enjoy his preaching, and I do too. But just really a blessing to our church family. So he's coming, and brother Jason and his wife are going to plan to drive out this year. Last year they flew, but they had a person in their church that worked for the airlines, was able to come for like $30 to fly out here and back. So that was definitely a blessing on our part. And then, but this year he's going to drive out, him and his wife. For them, it's probably going to take a couple of days driving so many hours and then rest. We look forward to them being here. And then the Nelson family is going to be here to sing for us. You know what a spiritual time that is, what a blessing it is to have them with us. So all that, it takes money. And, of course, for our things that are going on in the campaign. So please be praying about that. We've got $1,000 already set aside for this meeting coming up. So let me ask you, if God provides it, if you say if God provides it, you'd give toward it. I'll ask you to do that. If you do that, we'll have plenty. We'll have plenty. God will bless. So if you would keep that in your prayers. All right, Psalm chapter 78 tonight. Psalm 78. Verse number 2. The Bible says here in Psalm 78, verse number 2, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. If you will, turn back to Psalm chapter number 16. The title of the message tonight is Dark Sayings. Dark Sayings. In Psalm chapter number 16, we're going to read a few verses here, verse number 5 through verse number 9. The Bible says, "The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me, because He is at my right hand, and I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope." Tonight's message, I believe, will bring us to a place of examination. Examination, number one, as to our contentment. In verse number 5, the Bible says, "The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance." What is it that you're contented with. The psalmist here said, "The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot." What are you content with tonight? I believe tonight's message will cause us to answer the question as to the amount of courage that we have. Verse number 6, "The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage." Courage. Listen, we live today in 2011, and the responsibility and the heritage of the Christian faith has fallen down to you and I. And it's going to take God's children with an amount of courage to be able to accept the responsibility that we have as Christians living the life of our faith in this world. "Lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. We have a goodly heritage." Tonight's message will cause us to bring into question not only our contentment and our courage, but thirdly, our commitment to our Savior. Verse number 7, the Bible says, "I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons." You know, we read over there in Psalm chapter 78, verse 2, he said he'll utter dark sayings and the night seasons. The night seasons. Your commitment. Your commitment in the night seasons. So we called into question not only your contentment and your courage and your commitment, but your concentration. Verse number 8, "I have set the Lord always before me because He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved." Verse 8, the first part there, "I have set the Lord always before me." I've set the Lord always before me. Our concentration. Our concentration. If I was to line some people up down here and have them in a line apart from one another where there's an alley that someone could walk between those people, I thought a good little activity might be to have somebody walk between those people down that line and stay focused on someone at the end of that line, while the folks to the side of that person try to distract them and keep them from looking straight ahead. That's the way our life is. The Bible teaches us the wise person understands this truth of looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And as our focus is on Him, then we're not easily distracted. Many Christians, they don't have their concentration on the Lord. And the distractors are around them and very easily knock them out. And in that activity, as a young man tries to walk through that line of people, if at any point he turns his eyes to one of those people, they could shove him and knock him, push him out of the line. And that's exactly what the devil does to us when we take our eyes off the Lord. Come tonight, what we're going to talk about tonight will call into question our commitment, our contentment, our courage, our commitment, and our concentration. And lastly, it'll call into question our confidence. Verse number 9, "Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope." And sometimes as Christians, maybe you're in here tonight and you kind of feign yourself to be a pretty good Christian, and have reached high levels in your walk with Christ. But we're going to look at some things, some dark sayings that I hope we'll learn from these men, these individuals that said these things, that taught us these things, and examine ourselves as to how we would respond in those circumstances. You may find out tonight, and I think it'd be a good thing if you found this out. You may find out tonight you're not the Christian you think you are. Because that's the first step to being able to acknowledge to God that you need His help and His strength. The song that Miss Ed saying tonight is going to dovetail right into this message, because it points out the importance of relying on God. Because listen, we're going to all go through night seasons. And the dark sayings in Psalm chapter 78 have to do with those night seasons. When we consider dark sayings, we're not talking about the latest gossip, amen? Never mind. When we're talking about dark sayings, we're not talking about swear words or curse words. We're talking about dark sayings, nor are we talking about scary stories. By dark sayings, we mean that we are going to look at groups of words that make up responses during the darkest of hours. They are words that, if you will, can only be appreciated and the depth of their meaning revealed by those individuals who are in the deepest of circumstances. Dark sayings. Dark sayings. If we're wise, we can learn from their example that no matter what may come at us in our faith, and this is what I want you to get, that no matter what may come at you in your faith, we as the children of God, in which the Spirit of God dwells, we possess the ability to be strong, maintaining a positive, powerful, and productive testimony that others may witness and may very well come to Christ as a result of. It's sad. I'm telling you, there's people today, they possibly didn't come to church today because the preacher didn't call and check on them. That's how feeble a lot of Christians are today. And the sooner we realize maybe that that may be where we are, the sooner we can understand that we have the ability to be far, far stronger than that. Far stronger than that. Let me ask you this simple question. What would it take to get you out of church? What would it take to get you to turn your back on God? What would it take? What would it take to get you to the point where you say, listen, that's it. I'm through with Christianity. Through with it. Turning your back on God? A lot of Christians have done that. But by these examples, hopefully we can learn that because we're the children of God, seeing that these men said these things and lived these things, we can learn from them and realize that we are much stronger than what we may think. Or at least we have the ability to do these things. Whether or not we choose to do them is a different story. But you have the ability to do them. These dark sayings are for individuals only. Individuals only. Because every decision you make, you realize, is a personal decision. It's a personal decision. You may do it because of someone else. Nonetheless, it's a personal decision. And these dark sayings here are individual decisions, not groups. Individuals. So in other words, these times that we're looking at are going to be times where you face them on your own. On your own. And then determine your decision. Number one, Job taught us this. If you want to just listen, we probably won't not going to be very long. Job taught us this. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in Him. Now think about that, Christian. Job knew what he was talking about. Job had been in that darkest time of his life. It's recorded in Job chapter 13. So we're not talking about the early part. We're talking about well into his affliction. Job said, though he slay me, though he slay me. And he realized that part of Job's being slain did not just have to do with his own physical body. His children died. His children were killed. His land was taken. His cattle was gone. His houses burned. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And again, like I said, the preacher don't shake your hand and you're ready to quit. Somebody doesn't say just the right thing to you and you're ready to give it up. Somebody treats your Oswald a little bit sideways, and next thing you know, I'm looking for another church. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Every word in that sentence has power. His wife, discouraged in all of this, said, why do you retain your integrity? Curse God and die. And all this, Job said, not with his lips. His health gone, now he's in an ash pile, scraping the sores with a broken piece of pottery. His friends come along and say, surely you've done something wrong, falsely accusing him. Job, in the midst of all that turmoil, the deepest, darkest hour of his life, uttered a dark saying, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. How are you doing? How are you doing? I can't come to church Sunday night. Man, football game's going to be on. I could stay home and watch a football game. Man, we can't make it to church. Man, we've got stuff that we're going to do. We've got our own life to live, you know. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Number two. Number two. David taught us that though I'm in the depths of sorrow, yet will I worship him. Though I'm in the depths of sorrow, yet will I worship him. The Bible says in 2 Samuel 12, verse 20, then David arose from the earth and washed. If you know the story here, he had committed that sin with Bathsheba. And the man of God came and revealed to him that God was going to take the life of that child. Child fell sick. David immediately fell on his face before God and began to pray and call out to the Lord for mercy on this child, that God would spare the life of that child. No doubt Bathsheba, a mother, crying and weeping, and possibly other relatives around. I know Bathsheba's father had a lot of bitterness toward David. We don't know, but what they went there so much. Relied on David getting a hold of God in that deepest, darkest hour. He fasted and he wept and he prayed and he worshiped. And finally, he began to notice that his servants were talking among themselves, and he knew that the child was taken. Is the child dead? The child is dead. And here's where we pick up immediately when they tell him the child is dead. The Bible says that David arose from the earth, he washed, he anointed himself, he changed his apparel, came into the house of the Lord, and worship. That's a dark saying. That in the depths of my sorrow, in the depths of my despair, yet will I worship Him. Oh, preacher got on the music I listen to. That's it. I quit. That preacher has standards for us as leaders. Man, that's it. I quit. I've had enough. David had his own desire. There's no doubt he did. His desire was that the child would live. He says that in that passage there. He said, who could tell whether God would be gracious that the child may live? He wept and he prayed and he fasted. He was banking on God's graciousness. Get the picture. Take it in. Your child, fallen sick. If you could know, as David knows, that it's because of your sin that sickness has fallen on that child, and you fall on your face and beg God to have mercy, and you bank everything on His graciousness because God is gracious. But God said no. And God didn't do it the way you thought God ought to do it. God didn't do it the way David desired for Him to do it. But immediately he rose, washed himself, changed his clothes, went down to the house of God and worshiped God. How do you respond in those times? Number three, Joseph taught us that though I may go through great suffering, yet will I see Him. Yet though I go through great suffering, I will see Him in it. In Genesis chapter number 50, his brothers come to him in verse number 15. Again, I'll just read it to you. The Bible says, and when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, he said, Joseph will appear. Let me reread this. When Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us, will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall you say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren. How many of you believe that Jacob actually told them that? I kind of doubt that he told them that. Probably they tried to gain his favor by saying, this is what Dad told us to say to you. Nonetheless, so shall you say to Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. For they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept. And they spake when they spake unto him, verse 18, and his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? In verse 20, this dark saying, but as for you, ye thought evil against me. In other words, your whole purpose was to hurt me. And he was exactly right. You had a desire to hurt me. You thought evil against me. But you don't realize you are right in the middle of God's plan. When you thought evil against me, God meant it unto good. To bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Joseph teaches us that though I may go through great suffering, yet will I see Him. They hurt feelings and pride and fairness and all these things. They throw us plumb out of the will of God. That's how weak and feeble we've grown to become in this modern age Christianity. What would it take? What would it take to get you to turn your back on the things of God? Job said, though I may go through great suffering, yet will I see him. Number four. Joshua taught us that though I may have to stand alone, yet will I serve him. So you know the familiar passage, Joshua chapter 24 and verse number 15. He said there those famous words that we all know, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, whether you serve him or not, whether you're going along with it or not, whether popularity says this is the way we ought to go or not, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord regardless of what everybody else does. We're going to serve the Lord. Again, sometimes you're going to find, especially in this modern age we lived in, it's just as good religion, just as good Christianity that is so prevalent in this day and age. There's so much draw to go along with the crowd. Don't rock the boat, just go along with the crowd. Be open-minded. No, it's for me and my house, we're just going to serve the Lord. Amen. If somebody in my house decides they don't want to serve the Lord, then guess what? They don't need to be part of my house. Amen. Who's with me? Right. Say, you wouldn't do that? Oh, yes, I would. I'm not trying to be mean. It's just like I said at the men at the mission, my whole philosophy is if you want to serve God, I'll help you in every way possible. I'm talking about those men, and this goes for my children as well. You ever decide you don't want to serve the Lord, then you need to go someplace else. Because as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And I'm not trying to garner votes, amen? I'm serious about that. And some of you parents, I feel for you. There's a struggle going on. You love your children so much, but sometimes your child may decide to go the different direction. You're going to be in this place. Well, you're going to have to decide what are you going to go with. This may be extreme, but what if your child comes to you and says, I'm not going to church? What are you going to do? You're going to be in a position where you're either going to back away from church for Junior's sake, or you're going to take Junior, you're going to throw him in the car, and he's going to do what you tell him to do, or he'll leave. That's where it's at. I know that's a difficult battle. But that's coming from somebody who's been on his own pretty much since I was 14 years old. So I'm telling you, I have that slant. I have that view. Anyway. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. And then number five, Paul taught us that though I may lose everything, yet will I love him. Though I may lose everything. Anybody want to start naming off what everything means? You'll probably start naming off the things you love the most. I'd include that in everything. Paul tells us in Philippians, he said he counts all things lost for the excellency that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me turn over and read that Philippians. Chapter 3, verse number 7. What things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Christian, how do you handle those darkest hours that maybe you've already faced some, and chances are you will face others. Dark sayings. These sayings of these servants of God, when we read them, when we read Job, as he says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him, right away we ought to examine, could I say that? When we read of David, who taught us that, listen, though I'm in the depths of sorrow with the death of my child and things not going the way that I wanted, though I'm in the depths of sorrow, yet will I worship Him. You ought to ask yourself, is that the way you'd respond? When we read the words of Joseph, who said, though I may go through great suffering, yet will I see Him. How do you respond? How do you match up in this area? And we read of Joshua, who taught us, though I may have to stand alone, yet will I serve Him. You examine yourself saying, well, could I respond that way? And the Apostle Paul, who taught us, though I may lose everything in my life, yet will I love Him. He said in 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. His love for the Lord allowed him to be able to do, like I mentioned, an activity to look straight ahead and be able to not be distracted by the outward pulls. And Christian, as David taught us, your greatest distractions, they're not going to come from your enemy. They're really going to come from your own self. You say, well, a loved one's trying to influence me to do this, but still, it's your choice. It's your decision. Every one of us have to learn to how are we going to live our Christian life? Are we going to let God be God? Or are we going to be easily distracted and not be able to be strong in these times of darkness, these night seasons? The sayings of these servants of God should provoke the Christian's heart. Should provoke in the Christian's heart an examination as to the strength of our resolve to be true and faithful to our Savior, even through the darkest of valleys. Can you say tonight that though He slay me, yet will I trust Him? Can you say tonight that though I'm in the depths of sorrow, I'm going to worship Him? Can you say tonight that though I go through great suffering, yet will I see Him in it all? And you say tonight that though I may stand alone, I will continue serving God. And you say tonight that though I may lose everything, I will continue to love my God. If not, then you need to spend time at this old-fashioned altar and ask God to give you that strength and to build within you that ability to realize that it doesn't matter what takes place around you, you can stay focused on God and live for Him. The day will come to all of us which we must be determined if you are to be a victorious Christian. Remember, we have an adversary, the devil, and as a roaring lion, he walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And though he can't read your mind, many times he's just experienced at attacks. And he knows, which is why we as God's children must determine that no matter what, we're going to stay faithful to God. No matter what. Because if you cannot determine that, whatever avenue you say is an out, you can mark it down, that's going to come on you. And the truth of the matter is, it may not always come from the devil. God doesn't want to be even number one in your life. He wants to be preeminent. He wants to be it, all in all. God many times will try us. He'll try our faith. Remember, Peter tells us that. Trying of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth. And God's the one who determines that. Simply tonight, we see these dark sayings of these men in the darkest of hours. And every one of these should, again, challenge us as to where we are. But it doesn't matter what comes in your life. If you're saved, the Spirit of God lives in you. Doesn't matter what comes in your life, you possess the ability to stay faithful to God through it all. Let's all stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, I know I preached the message, Lord, that You've laid on my heart and for the Longview Baptist Church.